ready. Yay, we ready. Hey, I love you guys. I appreciate you. Again, happy Wednesday to everybody. Got a few announcements that I want to make to you. First of all, I want you to, if you will, on your prayer time, to please pray for the Putman family, Chris Putman. Some of y'all may be aware of his ministry. He's worked so many great things together with Tom Horn. If you're familiar with Tom Horn, great scholar, both of them in their own right. Chris passed away last week. It was just released this week that he passed away. He was buried today in Raleigh, North Carolina. But those that have read Tom Horn's books and watched different television programs that Chris was on, he was 51 years old, a very young man, and still don't know the cause of death. But if you would, pray for that family. It's very, very troubling when anybody passes away at any age, because you love people. You don't want to see them go. But especially at 51, he was a prolific writer, a scholar, a theologian, a mighty man of God. But, you know, the Father's in control, amen? And so I want to start out the service with just asking for your prayers for this family and for the body of Christ that gets affected by these things and doesn't really know how to answer them. All I can say is that nothing passes through the Father without him knowing. Amen. So do pray for that family and ministry. I want to just remind you and let you know our resurrection seed offering is going to be coming up during our Passover week, during our resurrection service. So we'll be getting those out for you to be praying over. I find it amazing. We're already coming on that season. It's coming. I mean, we're just weeks away from Passover and celebrating resurrection and all the great things about that. But I want to remind you about that seed that's going to be taken up. We only take up two major offerings during the year, and it's during those special times that we're going to be doing that. And so you say, what is that? That's just a time where you give unto the Lord what you feel is out of your heart for that season. He gave his best, so we give him the best that we have. And so it's a great thing. And so many people, so many miracles in this church over that those times of offerings. It's just indescribable and undeniable that God has his hands upon those offerings. Also, we're going to be turning our clocks ahead. Sorry. Bad news, man. Bad news. It's coming up. Yeah. So we lose an hour, right? Leave it alone. Will they just leave the clock alone? Leave me alone. Leave the clock. Insanity. But that's what we got to do. So that's coming up. So you should. That means you're going to be here early if you messed up. Is that right? Will they be here early if they messed their clock up? No, they're going to be late. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Just sleep in the parking lot if you're afraid it ain't going to work or something. Anyways, and I just wanted to also say before we go along, thank you guys to the praise team, Ignited Praise Team, that's working it out, man. Thank you guys. It sounded awesome. And it's going to be an adjustment for us whenever we go live and we get our drummer and all that. But that's called adjustment. That's called change. That's called life. And that's, you know, it's what we've been waiting for to go live. And so I don't know when you guys are planning on doing it, but that first song, I think you're ready to do it, you know, for the house. But you guys decide when you're ready to do that. So we thank Lauren and everybody that's just a part of this. And more people are coming. This team's going to grow and have some people that are going to be showing up here shortly to show us, you know, or to look around and just kind of see if it's a fit. Amen? If it's a fit, it's great. If it's not, it's okay. Isn't that right? We want family, and we want everybody to work together in harmony and unity. And there's going to be a mighty anointing on this praise team. We've prophesied this praise team for many, many years, and you all know my heart. I would rather worship than get up here and just preach. I mean, if the Holy Spirit is moving, you can just find me laying out somewhere and just let God do what he's going to do. So pray for a mighty anointing and you won't hear me preach. That's one way to get revival, right? It's going to be great. But I want to just publicly say thank you, guys. Appreciate your hard work, and I know it's going to get better. And like I say, we're just going to adjust and get used to it. I just can't wait. I can't wait for the drummer, too. The drummer's going to be awesome because that just brings everything out. And then we get to go wild with drums. Are y'all excited? Is it just me up here? I'm telling you, that's why I got these shoes on tonight. Man, I am ready. I am ready to bounce around and do some praising for Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, now that I got your attention there, any other announcements? God's good. That's all I know. He's faithful, man. He is doing some wonderful things in our lives. Amen. And I just appreciate you. All right, let's get into the word tonight. World missions and evangelism. Father, we do love you. Thank you again. We welcome everybody that's listening tonight. Father, bless them all. Bless Ignited Church. Bless all of our friends and family around the world. Those that are listening tonight, those that are a part of this building but can't be here. We love them. We bless them, Father. And lead us now into all truth in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. World missions and evangelism. Last time we got together, we're talking about becoming an ambassador for Christ, an ambassador for Christ. You and I are both, all of us are called to be ambassadors. Ephesians chapter 6, 18 through 20. Remember he said, I'm praying for all. We're supposed to pray for everybody. Pray for those in foreign countries. It's very important that we do that. I don't know if anybody has taken that challenge yet, but go ahead and pray for the nations of the world. There's famine in the world. There's drought taking place right now in various parts of the world. I think Sudan is now in another life-threatening drought. And you know, it's sad when people say, well, you know, that's part of judgment and this and that. Well, we understand that, but we still have to have compassion, and we still have to pray that somehow the gospel would be infused into that region, and somehow that God would work through corrupt politicians. Let me just tell you like it is. Corrupt politicians, when millions and billions of dollars are given to the United Nations and only a fraction goes to the people, yeah, that's corruption. Pray that it happens. Pray that ministries in America rise up and send aid and send doctors and help. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do, because one day we're going to be accountable. Well, we're in Livonia, Georgia, and we're a small church. It doesn't make a difference to God. We have the same power to pray as a mega church in Los Angeles does. We may not have the budget. We may not be able to send, but we can sure pray. And so Paul said, man, pray for all. Then he says what? For the logos, or the articulate utterance of the human language. Let me be intelligent in my speaking. Let me be precise in my ability to declare the word of the Lord. It's the same thing for missionaries. Man, let them be precise in their ministry when they go overseas so they can hit the mark and they can reach the nations that they are assigned to. Okay? And he said, make known what? The revelation of redemption. That's what we should be reaching people with, the revelation of redemption. Remember, the ambassador is an elder, and he said, I'm one in chains. I'm in chains. This is what I've chosen to do. I've chosen to carry my cross. I'm an ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, remember that verse 19, imputing or to put into the account, canceling the owed account. We need to tell people not only that they're going to die and go to hell, we need to tell them that your account has been canceled. You don't have to go to hell. There's the good news to it. There's the great news of the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. So we have to balance out how we minister to people, weighing it with judgment in hell, but also weighing it with reward in heaven. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what they need. Some people need to hear a judgment message. Some people need to know, hey, man, you're playing with fire right now. Other people need to hear, hey, God loves you, and God has a plan for you. Amen? Give them the full gospel. Verse 20 said, we are now ambassadors. All of us are ambassadors. All of us represent the kingdom of God. We should do our best at every level and at every opportunity to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It's not easy, is it? Because it requires the fruit of the Spirit. It requires for us to be real. It requires for us to be on guard all the time and be Christ-like. That ain't easy, is it? Very few are admitting it. It's not easy. But guess what? He gave us the power to live right. And if we just call on his name, he'll help us do that. Is that right? Okay, so we talked about the message of salvation, redemption, heaven, and we speak on behalf of the King and the blessings, and we also speak the warnings that come from him. So it's a balanced message, and so many people have an imbalanced message when it comes to Jesus and it comes to the gospel. And we just got to find strategy, what works for our generation and the people around us. Okay, for tonight, world missions and evangelism, we're going to talk about the power to go. I'm going to break this down into two sections. The power to go. The power to go. You and I have been empowered to go into all the world. Let me try that again. You and I have been empowered to go into all the world. all of society. It doesn't necessarily mean we all get on an airplane, but we all have the power to go into society. We're going to talk about that power. We're going to talk about that entire purpose of that. So the power to go. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Watch this. This is awesome. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Everybody still awake? Okay. I know it rained the other day. You must have got bathed and ready for the weekend. That was some pretty rain, wasn't it? I tell you what, we needed that for sure. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You need to read the whole chapter because the whole chapter is just simply awesome. But I want to take you, I'm going to take you to verse 7. Watch this, because I believe this is a warning for the church right now. I believe this is a warning for where we are in life and in ministry, because I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of churches that are not teaching and preaching and reaching with evangelism, with people's souls in mind. They don't care about their communities. They don't care about people around them. They don't care about what's happening next door. All they care about is their cells and the buildings and money and budgets and all these different aspects of life that concerns their ministry and not the life of those that are around them. And one of the things that we're poised to do in the coming weeks and coming months is we're going to reach this community like never before. Amen. They're probably going to have to get a warrant on us or something, because we're just going to be out there. Is anybody here today? What's that thing they get when they don't want you coming around somebody? A TP. How would you know about that? A TPO. A TPO. That's what I'm talking about. That we ought to be such a menace to the devil and to his kingdom. Come on, somebody. That, you know, that they're going to do everything they can to stop us from being out there. Here comes them Christians again. Come on now. Listen, do you know that while you and I are in church on Sundays, the Jehovah Witnesses are knocking on our neighbors' doors? They used to be Saturday only folks and during the weekdays. Now they're on Sunday. Now they're working 7 days a week. While we're in church, they're out there doing their thing, sowing confusion and deception into our neighborhoods. Come on, somebody. And the church has to wake up and arise and do what it's been called to do. And we're going to continue to do what we've been doing, but we're going to increase it in a greater realm. But watch this, verse 7, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. For the Lord God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountain and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, in a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Watch this, verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, when you have eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. See, we're supposed to bless the Lord at all times. We should bless him when blessings come. We should bless him at all times and say, God, thank you for the nation you've given me. Thank you for the ministry you've given me. Verse 11, be aware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping the commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built godly or goodly homes and dwelt therein, and when thy herbs and thy flocks multiply, and when thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. He said, don't forget, when all these things start to increase in your life and you start to be blessed and you say, how do I measure my blessing? You measure your blessing by what you have, and you thank God for every drop and every ounce of life you have, every morsel of food you have, every piece of thread of clothing, every shoe you own, every lace upon the shoe, come on, every button on the shirt. And then you look around those who are less than you and say, thank God, God has blessed me. Instead of looking at the rich and saying, oh, God, I don't have. Honey, you have more than you realize in America. You've got more than most people when it comes to the third world. You've never had to carry water to your house. Come on, somebody, to take a bath, to brush your teeth, or to flush your toilet, unless your power went out, you had an emergency. But we don't understand it. in the American church. Some of y'all coming to Cuba with us, you're going to learn a large lesson. You're going to understand what it's like to live by faith in a nation that's third world compared to America. I feel like preaching tonight, because I'm going to tell you something. This is a warning to the church. We have forgotten what God has given us. We have forgotten why we hold a microphone in our hand. We forget why we've been given such a blessed building and land and properties to come. We forget why we have all these things. It's not for us to gloat and bloat and say, look how good we are, look how great God is. No, it's for souls. Watch this. He warns Israel. Watch verse 14. Here's where we are. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. When do you forget God? Most of us forget God when we're blessed. When we're poor and scraping and we need a job and we need stuff and we need a house, that's when we cry out to God and say, God, help us. But when we get the stuff, we turn our back on him and we forget it was God that did it. And the church has forgotten, and I can tell by the way we act with world missions and way we are with evangelism in America. More money is spent on dog food than world missions in America. Something wrong with that. When we know two-thirds of the name of God is go. We're go people. We should always be on the go. We should always be reaching out. We should always be reaching to children and people all around us. Man, I'm getting fired up. Watch this. Then thine heart be lifted up. I'm going to say it again, verse 14. Our hearts get lifted up, Brother Mike, when we get blessed. Our hearts get lifted up when we get people and nickels and noses in our churches. Our heart gets lifted up when we begin to buy stuff. And forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and the whole house of bondage. Verse 15, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions in drought, where there was no water, who brought thee water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, and thy fathers knew not. They didn't know where this came from. They didn't understand what manna was. They didn't understand bread from heaven. And God said, I did all this. Listen, we can't forget where God has brought us from as Christians. So many Christians, they get saved and they become petrified. They become petrified and they forget the journey. They become holier than thou. They forget that they were a sinner one time. Now they don't want to sit next to a sinner. Now they don't want to get around people. Then now they want to act holier than now. And I understand there's a time of separation to be discipled, and I got that. Until you get strong, you get a great spiritual immune system, but you cannot forget where you came from, and you can't forget the journey. You can't. You have to remember these things. If not, you will not reach out to people who are in the same condition you are in. We don't need petrified Christians in the church. We need people alive. We need people that remember. They don't dwell in the past. They don't live in the past, but they remember what they used to do. That's why to whom as much has been forgiven, loveth much. I love to see sinners born again and just watch them develop into Christians and still love people and get them saved. Petrified Christians, we don't get along too good. We're both hard-headed. Is anybody here? You don't have to, none of y'all had to say amen to that, but you know it's the truth. I'm not gonna tolerate it. I'm gonna love everybody I possibly can. I can't stand when people in church and they don't love the church people with them. They don't love the people around them, they don't fellowship with them, they don't try to reach out to anybody except their little clan, their little clique, their little club. Sorry, I just can't go that route. Let me go on before I really get you mad. Verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness? Read that to you, didn't I? Which thy fathers knew not. Gave them manna. Blessed you. Watch this. Verse 17. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. This is where we are today in the church when it comes to ministry and it comes to kingdom understanding. We think that we've done this. We think that we built the buildings and we did all the clever advertisement and marketing and got on TBN and all kinds of media platforms and we did this. No, God gave us this nation and he gave us these great ministries that are out there for the purpose of winning souls. Verse 18, here's where I want to begin to teach from. The other part, I just felt like preaching it, but verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he. You ought to circle that. I got it circled in my Bible. For it is he. Why are you so happy? For it is he. Well, that's a nice car you drive. For it is he. Well, your family's a beautiful family. For it is he. It ain't me. I'm not smart enough to do it. I don't have the ability to do it. Man, you guys got a new building. You only, you know, been in existence for, you know, short period of time, blah, blah, blah. For it is he. He did it. For it is he that giveth thee power. Everybody say power. To get wealth. Power to get wealth. I'm going to stop right there. Let me give you the word power. It's koach. K-O-A-C-H. Koach. 3581. That's in the Hebrew. 3581. Koach. K-O-A-C-H. It means to be firm. Okay? But the other definitions of it is ability, strength, ability, and strength. Check this out. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that has given thee the power. He's given you the strength. He's given you the ability, the firmness to obtain that wealth. It's God. The reason we have big buildings and the reason we have ministries that do what they do in the multiplied millions of dollars in budgets should be for the sole purpose of winning souls and should be the sole praise of one person, and that is God. We're prideful in America. We're prideful. And that's why I believe there's coming a great transfer of wealth in the last days. Not just talking dollars and cents. I'm talking about assets. Because I believe as things get tougher and the crises and the chaos begins to rise up, you're going to see a lot of hirelings leave their position. And there's going to be a lot of assets available for remnant churches. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm not worried about assets. They'll come. I'm not worried about property. I'm not worried about money. None of that stuff. It will all come to the remnant because we're going to do what God told us to do because we recognize and realize it is he. It's not me. That giveth thee power to get wealth. Let me give you the word for wealth. Actually, I'm just going to give you the definition. You could look that up. But check this out. Wealth. It translates this, watch, an army or forces. I love it. It translates to army or forces. So I have given you the strength and the ability. I've given you the power. I have given you what you need to raise up an army, a force. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Israel. He was talking to Israel, and he was saying, I've given you power. I've given you this ability to raise up a mighty army and a mighty force. Because what good would it do for a king or a kingdom to have money without protection and provision? And God was saying to them, I am your protection. I am your provision. I am your wealth. And I will be a force and an army for you. So how do you know that? Watch. To give wealth that he may establish his covenant. What is his covenant? It means his word, his promise. It also means an agreement or a league. I will make an covenant or establish this covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. He's talking to Israel. He said, look at all the benefits God has given you. When you possess the land, when you grow, when your flocks increase, when multiplication comes to you, when process of blessings come to you and I expand the kingdom, don't forget it is I that have given you the strength and the power. I have armed you. to make covenant, to make a league, to establish my word to the nations of the earth. Write this down. His gifts are for his pleasure and fulfillment of his promises. His gifts are for his pleasure and fulfillment of his promises. Everything I have in life right now is for his pleasure, for his fulfillment. My home, my stuff, this building, the microphone in my hand, these awesome shoes that make me look faster than I am. Everybody, who said yep? I'm going to tell you something right now. If everybody, those that are listening, wish they could see it on camera, but these are awesome shoes, man. They are yellow. They are Big Bird yellow. And if I bought Brother Michael's tricycle motorcycle, I would look awesome because he's got a yellow one. So I'm going to get some red ones. I'm just going to do something wild. I don't care. I'm going to wear red with a suit one Sunday. Why not? Just be different. Amen. Yeah, LEDs and, some fake hair. It'll be awesome. All right. So his gifts are for his pleasure and fulfillment of his promises. Everything we have is to bless his kingdom. Everything we have is to open the door and say to the community, this is a hospital. This is a place for refuge. This is a place for security. This is a place for whatever you need. Bring your family in. It doesn't matter how they are or the way they act. It doesn't matter. We don't have the choice. We can't throw fish out that we want and don't want. Or keep fish we want and throw. We can't do that. We don't scale people. We don't do that. All we can do is say, God, our doors are open, and here's all that we have for your kingdom. Our tithe is for your kingdom. The whole is for your kingdom. Whatever you want to do, Jesus. Man, I tell you, when people get that mindset, we'll turn the world upside down. Because we will be reckless. We'll be fearless. We won't care. We won't be fearful to hold what's ours and hold money and hold objects and hold things. We'll just say, here, give, take, Lord, do what you want to do, because it's he, you, that gave me the power to obtain this wealth. And I understand this wealth is bigger than me. It's an army. It's an army that must fulfill his covenant. So his gifts are for his pleasure and his fulfillment of his promises. The army of God must arise to reach the world. So what's the power to go? The power to go to the world is to realize that it's God that's doing this. It's God that gives us the resources. I truly believe that the more faithful we become, I'm talking to the Remnant Church and I'm talking to Ignited, the more we become faithful and mature in the things of God. You say, how do you become mature? Well, you become mature, number one, by time, but number two, by testing. Time and testing, TT. That's how you become mature. Time and in testing. You must be tested. And as we're tested in time, God will add to us and we'll become even greater and be blessed even beyond our imaginations. That's why when I say, and I look and I say, we can have this whole block. I don't say that through pride and through hyper faith. I say that with the realization and the revelation that if we're really covenant people and we really believe that he can do this and he's called us for this time at this place, then what's the limit? What's the limit? You know, you stand in a 360-degree view and you say, okay, I need this, I need that, I'm going to have that, and I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have that. And God says, that's right. I'm going to give it to you. Amen. All right. So it is he that gives us power to get that wealth. We got to be like-minded. We got to understand. I do believe the greatest transfer of wealth is coming. We got to have our withdrawal slips ready. What's the withdrawal slip? That's your faith. Have your faith ready. Have your faith ready. Say, God, we're believing you to fill the building and beyond. God, we're believing for miracles, signs, and wonders beyond our imaginations. I'm believing for ambulances to pull up here and bring sick people, people dying. I'm believing for hospice to pull up and bring people. Do you hear me? I'm believing God for that. I'm believing and just, you know, open the doors and let the sick come in, and we'll lay hands on them and watch them recover. Can somebody say amen? Now let's go to the New Testament. Let me show you a correlation that's pretty cool here. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Is this okay? Y'all still like me a little bit? Be back Sunday? What'd you say, honey? You like my shoes? Okay. Well, if that draws them in, I guess I'll get some pink ones. And hey, guys look good in pink, don't they? Come on, John. John says, a real man to wear pink. You're right. Yep. A one that ain't scared. All right, check this out. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Watch this now. And we'll bring this to you together. We're going to tie it up in a pretty package and send it on. Verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Right now, many people have their eyes focused on the restoration of all things, and I understand that. And I'm going to say a few statements that I don't want to be misunderstood. But there are many that are so focused on end-time events and prophetic things and judgment and the restoration of things that we miss the hour we're living in. Should we be looking at these things? Absolutely. Does this church? Absolutely. We are a 360-degree church. We just totally look around with the radar of God. We're watching. We're listening. Absolutely. We're told to watch. But so many people are paying attention to the kingdom in the sense of being raptured, being out of here, getting everything completed, that they forget the task. So watch what Jesus says. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, the chronos or the kairos. Both words are used there. Those of that know how I teach on timing, the chronos talks about the moments of time, and the kairos talks about the opportunity of a time, a season of a time. Even when it doesn't look like it's season, when it's the opportune time, that's a kairos moment. God will put you in a kairos moment, okay? So Jesus hits them on both sections and both time frames. It says, he says, you know, presently and in the future. I'm just trying to teach you guys something here is what he's telling them. He said, which the Father hath put in his own power. Everybody say power. The word power means choice here. It's his choice, his season, his doing. Is there coming an end day? Absolutely. Is his kingdom coming? Yeah, it's here and it will come and manifest in a greater way. We're going to see his kingdom come. We're going to see the king. Are end time events going to take place? Absolutely. They're happening right now. But for that ending to take place and the fulfillment of it all, it's in the Father's choosing. We can know seasons and times, can't we? Matthew chapter 24, we can look through the Bible. We can teach on the book of Revelation. We see the seasons. We can see the fruit and the budding of it. But we don't know the day or the hour. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. And so Jesus is telling them, it's kind of a rebuke, but he's bringing them into perspective because their mind was in the wrong place. Their mindset was somewhere else. Watch this. Luke chapter 22, verse 30, what did they say to Jesus? They said, you know, hey, he said to them, he said, look, you're going to be sitting in thrones. Is that right? Go look it up. Luke chapter 22, verse 30. He said, you're going to have thrones. You're going to be seated with me. And they were all excited, wouldn't you? I mean, you're walking with Jesus. You don't understand the gospel. You didn't have the Bible from the bookstore to go find out what he was talking about. Here's Jesus. He's the living word. All you have is the Old Testament and the Pentateuch and those things to go by. And he says, guess what? One day, Brother Mike, you're going to be sitting on thrones with me. Wee-wee! Hallelujah. Mike's thinking in a few weeks. You know, he's finally shaving and bathing, and he's getting ready because you notice I walked over here. That's a big boy. He put on some old spice, and he got himself ready. He's fixing to go meet the king. He's fixing to go sit on that throne, amen? And he's ready to go, just like I would. Is that right? So their mindset was they didn't understand death, burial, and resurrection. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand. What do you mean it's going to be a couple thousand years from now? Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't tell you the whole story? Because if he would have told you what it took to get to you right today, some of y'all wouldn't have went on the journey. Some of the things that happened in ministry for my life, if you would have told me at the beginning, I'd have been like, whoa, crawl dad backwards, man. I don't know about that. You mean I'm going to get stabbed in the back? People are going to do this to me and leave me, blah, 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 blah. Whoa, man. But he doesn't always tell you that, does he? But he gets you through it. He does. He doesn't lie to you. He takes care of you. He'll get you through it. So the point was, here they were in Luke chapter 22, verse 30. They were waiting to sit upon their thrones. And here they are. Jesus is now resurrected. They don't understand he's going to ascend. They don't have that revelation. He's fixing to bolt. He's fixing to go to the right hand of the Father. So they're like, hey, is this the time you're going to set up the kingdom? Is this the time I get to go into my palace or whatever? And Jesus said, whoa, 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 guys. Come on, how many all has Jesus ever told you to whoa? Because, you know, you hear something from the Lord and you're like, okay, today I got it. It's mine. And the Lord's like, no, I meant about 10 years from now. Oh, thanks a lot, Lord. That gives you the TNT, the time and the testing, doesn't it? Okay, so that was the whole reason why Jesus said what he said to them. So their mindset, now let me give you the parallel today, the prophetic parallel. We've got a few more minutes together. The prophetic parallel of today. We are looking for the kingdom to come. We're looking for end times. We're looking for all these things. Again, we're supposed to, but so many people are so focused on that that they miss the reason why you're on earth right now. And you're on earth right now not to get raptured. You're not here on earth to watch the New Madrid explode. You are here on earth to witness and reach people for Jesus Christ. You are here to plunder hell and populate heaven. You are here to reach the world and to bring the glory of God into the earth. Earth and heaven touching together in a mighty class, just a tremendous explosion of the glory of God. Man, I'm telling you, I love this. But they had their mind wrong, and so do a lot of Christians. They got their mind wrong. They're thinking about eternity. They're thinking about going home. They're thinking about sitting on thrones. They're thinking about mansions. They're thinking about the afterlife with God. And some of these things are okay. Please don't misunderstand me. But many times we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We're watching every YouTube channel about end times. We're watching every breaking news story that's coming out. And we're just so enthralled and so distracted by what's taking place. And they're legitimate things. But come on, just like a diet, there's certain things you don't eat all the time. If we eat bonbons all the time, we're going to look like a bonbon. Can somebody help me? You know, you're supposed to have an hourglass figure, not a figure of a box of Whoppers. I just happen to like Whoppers and Milk Duds. But there's no curves to it as far as I remember. I think they're all just... Is anybody here? Watch. He said unto him, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. He says, let me talk to you about power now. Let me talk to you about purpose in verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Dunamis. Dunamis power. Where we get the word dynamite. You know that. You've been in church long enough. You know it's dunamis. It's dynamite. 14:11, if you're going to look it up. It means strength, power, ability, inherent power, but it also means miracle-working power. Miracle-working power. When? Right now. Right now. See, they had their mindset looking on the end times, looking on these things, looking on what's coming on the earth. But Jesus said, let me get your attention for a second. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Watch this. You shall receive power, dynamite power, power of the Holy Ghost, miracle-working power, so that you can be, you ready for this? A martyr. The word witness there is martus, 3144, M-A-R-T-U-S. Martus, which is translated martyr. Isn't that awesome? They didn't teach you that when you got saved, did they? Okay, now you're saved. Now you're going to die. 31, what'd I tell you? 3144. 3144. Martus. It means to be a witness, absolutely. But it means, in the strongest terms, to lay down your life. Now, we may not all be called to lay down our lives physically, but we're to lay down our lives no matter what, every day. You say, how do you lay down your life? Well, the Bible says that no greater love hath the man than to lay down his life for his friends. So whenever you lay down your life, you lay it down through praying. If you took 5 minutes out of your time to pray for me and I took 5 minutes out of my life to pray for you, we just laid down part of our life. There's something I could have been doing for 5 minutes except praying for you and you doing for me prayer, right? So no greater love hath a man than he lays down his life for his friend. So Jesus said, I'm going to give you miracle-working power, and you are going to be a witness. And yeah, you may die physically, but you have to give up some of your life to be a witness for me. You have to give up some of your life, some of your wealth, some of the things that you have, so that you can be a witness for me. I find that awesome. But go back to Dunamis. Watch this, and I'm going to close with this. Dunamis power. I told you that it was strength, power, ability, inherent power. I told you it was miracle-working power as well, did I not? It also means this, power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, or hosts. Woo-wee. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, he said he's going to give you power to attain wealth. He's going to give you that ability. He's going to give you that army. He's going to give you that force of strength for his covenant. Jesus said, I have given you power, miracle-working power, that type of power that would be upon an army, that would be upon a force, that would be upon a host. Hey, we're an army, folks. The Church of Jesus Christ is bigger than this church and bigger than the mega church down the road and so on and so forth. This is an army. And Jesus said, listen, disciples, I'm going out of here, man. I'm leaving here, but I'm going to give you a gift of the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be dynamite power for you, and you're going to be raised up as an army. This isn't a one-man show. This isn't a one-person deal. This isn't a celebrity type of system that we have created it to be. This is the body of Christ coming together saying, listen, world, we're coming to you. We're coming at you with power. We're coming at you as an army with healing in our hands. Come on, somebody, with love in our mouth, with the words of God, and we're going to bless you. We're going to be a blessing people. We're going to be a blessing church. We're not going to harm you. We have no desire to hurt you, but we will bless you. Oh, we're going to hurt the devil, and we're going to bind up a devil, and we're going to bind up demons, and we're going to do all the spiritual warfare we need to do. But we're going to love you with the power of Jesus Christ. And see, we've got the power to go. And this is the purpose of why we're going to go. So we can reach the multitudes. So we can reach your families. Listen, what you guys are doing here by this prayer cross, I don't know what other churches are doing. I really don't care. I have to focus on what God's telling us to do here. But you know how many lives you're reaching? And I get reports of people saying, you know, hey, this is starting to churn in this family, and this is happening in this life. You're working the Word, and the Word is working. We've got the power to change the world. Yes, Jesus is coming. No doubt we're in the end times, crisis and chaos, and all the things have been prophesied. But we got to win souls. Listen, let me just tell you this. People that are so caught up in the end times and are not practicing their faith now and witnessing now, when it all breaks loose and all hell comes to earth, they won't be ready. They'll be focused on beans, bullets and bombs and Bibles and whatever else they got their mind on, instead of doing the work of the ministry. Honey, we're balanced, and we're going to do what we need to do in this last days, and that's to win souls. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you tonight for the word. Bless your people. Let us be doers of the word. I pray for Holy Ghost power to come upon this church and upon my brothers and sisters and the other churches and the house churches and the prayer groups and all that are involved, Father God, out there in the laboring in the fields of harvest. I pray a mighty compassion to come upon the church. Let us not care about culture, color. Let us not care about class and style. Let us not care about generational differences, but let us care as you do. And let Holy Ghost signs and wonders and miracles and power come upon us today. Help us, Lord. You've given us the power to go. And may the army, the remnant of Christ, rise up in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. I'll see you Sunday.